Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Mem Zayin. We are holding on daf Mem Vav Amud Beis at Amar Rava toward the bottom of the page. So today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leah Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHaShalom, by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, all they should come home safely. Also by Elisheva and Avishai Newman, in honor of the birth of their grandson, to AJ and Eliza Young Grice, they should be Zoha LeHachnisal Brisus LeHavram Avinu B'Zmano LeGadlo LeTorah LeChupa LeMaisim Tovim, and also Zecher Nishmas Avishai's grandfather of Yaakov Shlomo ben Naftali. It's also sponsored Zechron Brachel and Sham Shavliya. Also sponsored by Tzippi and Rabbi Dr. Aaron Ross to mark the yard site of Tzippi's father, Mr. Shlomo Fredman Shlomo Chaim Arya Leib ben Shmuel Nachma Kohen Bechaya, who is always makvid to give cover to Rabbanim, and his yard site was yesterday, I think. Sham Shavliya. Also by the virtual halacha program, a program to learn halacha at a high level under the auspices of Rav Nevensal, with an option for smicha. Visit vialacha.com for more information about the new limud beginning next week, learning Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to learn Rava's Shita about how to understand the line in our Mishnah where we said that you get Chatzi Nezek from the Para and a Revia Nezek from the Vlad. So we said, wait a second, you don't get three quarters of the Nezek. Atamiz Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. You only get Chatzi Nezek. So we had Abaye's understanding yesterday that Chatzi Nezek really meant Revia Nezek, Revia Nezek really meant Shminis Nezek. So today we're going to begin with Rava's understanding. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how do we assess the value of the Vlad of the Para and how do we assess the value of the pregnant Para in terms of damages done. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about three different cases of damages that happen when someone brings stuff into another person's property. And as a result of that, the interaction between my property and your property, meaning the property that I brought into your property, causes damage in either direction, whether the machnis damages the balabais, the balabais damages the machnis, and what the halacha is when I had rishus to come in there, and when I had rishus to bring my things in there, what the halacha is when I didn't have rishus to bring my things in there. The Gemara is going to deal with the stira in the Mishnah about whether stam rishus assumes responsibility as well. That if I say, okay, you could bring your stuff in, does that mean, and therefore I'm taking full responsibility for anything that happens by giving you rishus, or am I saying, okay, enter at your own risk, but, enter. So that's going to be a stira in our Mishnah. We're going to have two ways of resolving that stira. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if the animal of the balabayis gets hurt from eating someone else's peros, from eating the peros of the machnis. Not that he gets hurt by slipping on the peros, he gets hurt by eating the peros. So Rav is going to have this great finish that whenever it gets hurt by eating something, you could just tell him, why is your animal eating my stuff? He shouldn't have eaten it. So the Gemara is going to have three challenges to Rav's Shita that you could say to somebody, why are you, why is the animal eating it? It's not my fault. It's not my problem if your animal chose to eat my stuff that I left in your chatzer without any rishus to do so. So we're going to have three challenges. I mean, do we say the same thing by poison? That if I poison your animal, that and your animal gets sick, I can say, well, why is your animal eating my poison, right? So where do we, the three challenges to Rav. So let's begin. Amar Rava Atu Echad Me Arba'a Benezek. So three lines from the bottom of the page. So it says Gemara, Abaye had said that when we say that you get Chatzi Nezek from the Para and Revia Nezek from the Vlad, it really means that you get Revia Nezek from the Para and a Shminis Nezek from the Vlad. So Rava says that doesn't make sense. Atu Echad Me Arba'a Benezek Ve'echad Mi Shemona Benezek Katani. Does it say 1/4 and 1/8 in the Mishnah? No. Chatzi Nezek or Revia. It says 1/2 and 1/4 in the Mishnah. So Abaye's answer is unacceptable, says Rava. Ella Amar Rava. So rather Rava says, no, what the Mishnah means is as follows. Li'olam b'parah v'lad d'chad. The Mishnah is talking about where the parah and the vlad belong to the same owner. V'hachi ka'amrinan. What the Mishnah is trying to tell me is, Isa lepara mishlam chatzin nezek min para. That if the para is around, so then you the nizik collects the chatzin nezek from the para itself. Less a lepara, but if the para is not here, or the para is, let's say, worth less than the chatzin nezek, and time is only mishalim miguvo, so mele you can't collect the chatzin nezek when the para is not here, so the guy is toveya, the chatzin nezek from the vlad. But the vlad, we have a suffix whether it was mazik or was not mazik. I don't know if the vlad was in the picture at the time of the hezek. So mishtalim revia nezek mi vlad, so you get revia nezek from the vlad. It doesn't mean you get both chatzin nezek from the para and revia nezek from the vlad. It means one or the other, that if you're unable to collect chatzin nezek from the para, the most you can collect from the vlad is a revia nezek, because the vlad is a suffix. So it says gemara taimed lo yadina and you have a vlad ba'da ki nagcha ilohava, that the whole reason we collect only revia nezek from the vlad is because we do not know if the vlad was together with the para at the time of the negicha and was therefore a shutaf in the hezek, or the vlad was born before the negicha and therefore the vlad wasn't even in the picture at the time of the hezek. But the implication is aval ip shitalon to have a vlad ba'da ki nagcha. But if it were clear to us that the para was still pregnant at the time that it did the damage, so when you come to collect from the para mishtalim kuli chatzin nezek mivlad, then you'd be able to collect the entire chatzin nezek from the vlad. The only reason you max out at revia nezek from the vlad is because it was a suffix whether the vlad was even involved. But it sounds like if I knew the vlad was involved, it's possible to get the entire chatzin nezek from the vlad alone. So the gemara says Rava l'tameh, this is Rava l'shitaso dama Rava parashi zika gova mivlada, that if a para damages, you can collect the damages from the vlad, from the ubar. My time, and why is it that you can collect from the vlad? Because gufahi, there's a principle called ubar yerech imo, that the vlad is a part of the body of the para itself. So just like you're allowed to collect from the leg or of the para, from any other part of the para, you could take any section of the para. So the vlad is a section of the para that you're allowed to collect your chatzin nezek from. However, tarnagolas shizika, if a tarnagolas does damage, if a chicken does damage, so enu gova mi beitzasa, you cannot collect damages from the egg inside that tarnagolas. My taima, what's the reason that the beitz of a tarnagolas is different than the vlad of a para? Because pirsha bialmahu, it's something that's considered to be totally separate from the tarnagolas, as opposed to by the vlad of the para, it's ubar yerech imo. So the relationship between a vlad and the para is very different than the relationship between the chicken and between the egg and the chicken. So from Tosus it sounds that you don't collect anything from the beitza because you don't know if it was still attached to the tarnagolas at the shas hanezek or it was inside the body but hufresh from the tarnagolas. The Ravid and the Ra'ah are both quoted in the Shittim Kubetzes that even though you don't collect from the beitza as if it was one of the limbs of the mother, but you do collect from it kafi shir chelka in the nezek, based on its chelik in the nezek, meaning the beitza was definitely there inside the mother at the time of the nezek. So if the chicken is worth $4 and the beitza is worth $1, so then you can collect 20% of the damages that you're entitled to from the beitza, but it's only proportional to how much of the to its value within the context of the tarnagolas, as opposed to when you have a para and it's ubar, you can collect everything you're entitled to from the ubar, because the ubar is like any other part of the para, because of ubar yarachimo. That's how the Ravid and the Ra understand, in contrast to Tosus, says, no, the Beitza just doesn't get involved in the payment at all. The Rambam, Nuchsniskimon, Parates, writes that if the Beitza was mufreshes miguf ha'eim, b'shas ha'nezek, then you don't pay. So the Magna Mishnah is medayik. Oh, okay, so if it was mechuberes, then it's part of the guf of the mother, and you do pay from the beitza, fully even. You could collect entirely from the beitza if you know that it happens to be mechuberes. That's the diuk the Magen Mishnah makes in the Rambam. Now Rava goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah about a shor that's nagach a para vihipila, right? And it's nagach a pregnant cow, and the cow miscarries. So how do we value the demei of vlad? How do we evaluate the demei of vlad? So va'amar Rava, ein shamun lepara bifnei atzma, ulevlad bifnei atzma. We do not assess them independently, like the para on its own, how much was it worth before the nezek, and the vlad on its own as if it was already born, and because that's going to be yield a much higher value. El shamin levlad al gav para. Rather, we assess the vlad together with the para as if it were still inside the para's stomach. And this is the way we do it. How much was the para worth while it was pregnant? How much is the para worth right now that it's no longer pregnant? And the difference between them is what you pay. And that's how you figure out the demei ubar. You don't figure out how much a vlad would be worth independently. You figure out how much the para was worth, how much the para is worth. Shemiya tomer kein, because if you're not going to say that, rather you can say that the mazik has to pay the demei vlad as if it was already born, and the demei para separately, nimtza tamachish as a mazik, then the mazik is really losing out, because it's going to, the assessment is going to be way, way higher. And by the way, if you cut off someone, the arm of someone's Eved Kanani, we do a similar assessment, that we don't figure out how much money a person is willing to accept in order for you to cut off his Eved's hand. No, we assess how much is the Eved worth with his hand, how much is the Eved worth without his hand, and the difference between them is what you pay. Because if you'd assess how much a person is willing to take in order for you to cut off his Eved's hand, that would be a much higher sum of money, and it would be a major loss to the mazik. And the same is true when you damage someone else's field, that we don't assess how much is a person willing to take for this aruga in the field that you damaged. That would be a lot of money. No, rather, we look at the entire base sa'a, we look at the entire larger field, how much is it worth with that aruga, how much is it worth without that aruga, and the difference is what you pay. Because otherwise, the mazik would lose out tremendously. So the Gemara asks on Rava, Amalei Ravacha Breid Rava L'Ravashi V'idinahu L'chush Mazik. I don't understand. Meaning, what kind of svar is that? We're not going to make the assessment in a way that the mazik's going to lose. Because why should the mazik lose out so much money? I don't know, because he's a mazik. Why does it bother us that he loses out so much money? If that's the din, then what would be the problem? So answers the Gemara, no, we're not looking to be makel on the mazik. The ikar adin is to do the assessment the way we suggested it. It's not that the ikar adin is really to assess one way, but we're going to assess differently so that the mazik doesn't lose out so much. Of course we wouldn't do that. Rather, mishum da'amar lei, the mazik could say to the nizik, para ma'abarta azikatach, the para was pregnant when the damage happened, and my shar gored a pregnant para. He did not gore a para and a baby. It was a pregnant para ma'abarta, shemin alach. And therefore, when we do the assessment, it should be based on a pregnant para, not based on two separate assessments of a para and its offspring. Okay, now the Gemara explains, pshita, para dechad, vlad dechad. It's a davar pashut that if the para belongs to one person and the vlad belongs to another person, since the what would be an example how it could belong to two different people if the para was pregnant? The case would be that the bailim sold someone his para chutz meubra. He says, I'm selling you my cow, but I'd like to keep the ubar that's inside its the fetus that's inside of it. And the mazik wants to pay the bala para that which he lost because of the negicha. And the bala vlad, and he also has to pay the bala vlad, the value of the vlad that had died as a result of the negicha. So pitma, whatever extra fat, whatever extra baby weight the para put on, aside from the actual vlad itself, very often when a mammal is pregnant, so there's going to be a lot of other weight aside from the fetus itself. So whatever extra weight the para had, and therefore that's added value, lebal para, that goes to the bal para, even though it came as a result of the pregnancy, but that doesn't go to the bal vlad. Nafcha, whatever extra someone's willing to pay, just because the para looks more robust when it's pregnant, so whatever someone's willing to pay more for the para, so mai. Then who gets that? Rav Papa Amar Lebal Para, Rav Achmed Ravika Amar Cholkin. Rav Papa says it's all the para, because that's all the value of the para, whereas Rav Achmed Ravika says that you split that payment between the Bal Para and the Bal Vlad. The Hilchasa Cholkin. And the halacha is, we split that payment for the decrease in value as a result of the negicha by the para losing out that robust look to it. This is not the pitma, the actual fat, just the extra that someone's going to pay, because it just looks impressive when he sees it, and he might pay a little bit of a premium just because of what his eyes tell him when he looks at that para. Okay, new mission now. So we had previously learned way back on the Tesalim base that when a Nizik is Machnis is Shar into the Rosh HaMazik and it therefore gets damaged by the Shar of the Baal HaBayis, so the Mazik does not have to pay for the Nizik. So our mission is going to discuss three different cases of someone bringing something into someone else's Chatzer, either with the Rosh of the Baal Chatzer or without the Rosh of the Baal Chatzer. In each of the three cases, we'll discuss the Halacha, if what happens if it was Rishus and what happens if it was Shalom Rishus, and the item that he brought in got damaged by things that belong to the Baal HaChatzer, or did damage to things that belong to the Baal HaChatzer. So when is the Baal HaChatzer chayiv? When is the Machnis chayiv? What are the detailed halachos of this case? The Meiri points out that the first few Mishnayos in this perek is the Tana going back to Dinim we learned earlier in the Masechta and finishing up some details of Dinim that we had earlier in the Masechta. So essentially what the Meiri is telling us is this Mishnah has nothing to do with the Mishnah that we just learned. It has nothing to do with the previous Mishnah. It's just cleaning up some of the din before we get to the main topic of this perek. So here we go. Hakador, if a potter has a lot of extra pots and needs a place to put them, so shichnis kederos of the chatzar balabayis shalom rishos, he decides to bring his kederos into a chatzar that belongs to somebody else without any rishos from the bala chatzar. V'shavr behemto shal balabayis, and then the behemah of the balabayis breaks these pots. Potter, the Baal HaBayis does not have to pay for the broken pots, because the Baal HaBayis could say to the Baal HaKederos, what on earth did you expect? Why did you bring your stuff into my property? You had no right to bring your stuff into my property. That is certainly the simple reading of the Mishnah as to why the Baal HaBayis does not have to pay. That is how Chidushi Rabbi Yohanan Miluniel spells it out. The Rambam in Hilchos Niske Mamun Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin says, yeah, because the Pasuk says Veshilach is Biiro Biir B'Steyacher, and this is not Steyacher; it's in his own Sada, and that's why he's potter to pay. Like it's a Gezeras Hakasuf, as if it's not a simple Svara. So the Ramban Chosh Mishpat just points out, forget about the fact that you don't need a Pasuk. This that Pasuk doesn't even work. The Pasuk is only by Shein V'Regel. When you machnis your kederos into someone else's chatz or shalom or shos, the mazik is going to be potter, even if it was with Karen, even if it was kavanah to lazik, you're going to be potter. So it's difficult to understand why the Rambam quotes a pasuk in this context. Pashup shad, it's a svara, that you had no right to bring your stuff here. So when you brought your stuff here and it got damaged, you got what you deserved. V'imhuska behen, now if the behema of the Baal HaChatzar got damaged from the kederos, so Baal HaKederos chayev, the Baal HaKederos certainly has to pay for the damages that he did to the behema. V'imhichnis b'rishos, but if he had the right to bring in his pots, the Baal HaChatzar said, by all means, you can leave your pots in my chatzar, and then the kederos were broken by the behema of the Baal HaChatzar, so Baal HaChatzar chayev, the Baal HaChatzar is going to have to pay the potter for the damage to the pots. Because whenever you give someone rishus to bring stuff into your chatzer, min hastam, we assume that you're saying, and they will be protected here. So I am accepting upon myself the shmira of these pots while they're here. So therefore you're going to have to pay for it. So the Mishnah explains another case now. Hichnis, not pots, but rather peiros of the chatzer balabai shalom b'rishus. You bring your peiros into someone else's chatzer without any permission to do so. So v'achaltem behemto shel balabayis, and the behemah of the balabayis eats those peros. Potter, the balabayis does not have to pay for the value of the peros, because you never accepted upon yourself the shemira of those peros. It's very strong. The Mishnayos points out that if the behemah was nene from the achil of the peros, or the balabayim was nene, in that it now doesn't have to feed its behemah lunch. He doesn't have to feed his behemah lunch because the behemah is already full. So mishalem is mashanenis. That we learned earlier in the Masechta. You still have to pay for the hana'a. You just don't have to pay for the value of the peros. V'im huska behen. Now, if the behemah of the Baal HaChatzar got damaged from these peros, it slipped on the peros, it tripped on the peros, so Baal HaPeros chayiv, then the Baal HaPeros has to pay for the damages done to the animal of the Baal HaChatzar. Just like if you're Korah Barber, Shasarabim, and the behemah falls there, or like an Adam HaMazik, where you have to watch your peros that no one else gets hurt from your peros, and you were negligent in your watching of your payrolls to make sure that no one gets hurt. And since you had no right to bring it there, it's your responsibility. But v'im hichnis b'rishos, but if the guy told you that you're allowed to bring your payrolls into his chatzer, and then the behemoth of the bala chatzer eats those payrolls, bala chatzer chayiv, then the bala chatzer has to pay for the payrolls that its animal ate. Because whenever I'm telling you that you're allowed to bring your payrolls into my chatzer, min astam, I'm being mekabel shmira on those payrolls, that I'm saying that they will be protected and nothing will happen to them. They are safe in my chatzer. And now a third case, which seems to just be the same thing over and over again, just with different details. Hichnis shoro lechatzer balabayis shelo berishos. If I bring my shor into a chatzer balabayis without permission to do so, unugacha shor shel balabayis, and the balabayis' shor gores the shor that was trespassing. Oshen shachu kalbo shel balabayis, or the dog of the balabayis bites the trespassing shor. So pater, the balachatzer does not have to pay the balashor because you brought your shor in shelo berishos. But nagahu shor shel balabayis. But if the trespassing shor gored the shor of the balabayis, then chayiv, then the guy who brought it in is going to be chayiv to pay the balachatzer because his shor did damage, or because he's not the mamazik who brought biadayim his shor into a chatzer and nizik. Now it's interesting that the Tana chooses to talk about if I bring my shor without rishos and it gets hurt. So we discuss two cases. It gets hurt how? Either by the shor of the balabayis or by the kelev of the balabayis. Why does it mention both of those cases? So the Melech Shlomo and the Mishnayos suggests that it's coming to tell me that not only if the shor of the balabais attacked my trespassing shor, where you could assume that min bimino miskanin, that it's normal that two animals of the same min will attack each other and will fight with each other, but the chiddush is that even if the kelev of the balabais bit my shor, the balabais can be potter, whether it's a kelev ra that bites all the time, or whether it doesn't bite all the time, because I would have thought that a kelev is not going to attack. So it's telling me that halacha is the same whether it's a shor or whether it's a kelev. In Chidushim Ariach on the Mishnayos, he says it's because we're going to have later on in the Masechta, and we already had lo yigadal adam kelev unless it's kasher b'shalshela. So you're not allowed to have a kelev unless you keep it really tied down well with a leash. So one might have said that he'd be chayiv because he obviously didn't tie down his dog if it was able to damage my shor. So the Tana is telling me that no, nevertheless he's putter because my shor was trespassing, and therefore he's going to be putter. Now there is a machlokas rishonim we said that if nagahu shor shel balabayis chayiv, that if my trespassing shor gores the shor of the balabayis, then I'm chayiv. What am I chayiv? If it's a short time, is it chati nezik? Is it nezik shalem? What am I chayiv exactly? So the Rambam writes that if it was a short time, it's chati nezik, and if it was a short muad, it's nezik shalem. It's the same thing as a regular shor. Wouldn't be any different. However, the Tosos Rid writes that even a tam in this case pays nezek shalim. That even according to Chum that hold that b'chatzar nezek yom shalim chatzin nezek, that's only when the bala shor is not considered to be the mazik. It walked on its own into a chatzar nezek. But if the bailim brought the shor into the chatzar nezek shelo b'rishos, that's an adam mazik. That doesn't pay like a keren, like a shor that's mazik, like mamono amazik, where you have such a din called the shor tam that you pay chati nezek. I brought a shor into your rishos, so even by a tam you're going to pay nezek shalim. And that's why the Tana just says chayv l'shalim. Chayv l'shalim just means nezek shalim. It doesn't say how much to pay. It just says chayv, that you're chayv to pay, because in that case you're going to have to pay nezek. You're going to have to pay nezek shalim. Now, why is it that the Tana had to teach me three different cases that all sound the same? So the Tosos points out in Dibra Maschil Hakador that it's teaching me in the style of Lozu Avzu, that if it only would have said Kederos, there would have been room to argue that since Kederos are very fragile and they break easily, so when you're Mekabel Rishus Mestami, you're Mekabel Shmira, the Baal Chatz is Mekabel Shmira if he gives the guy Rishus, but by other things maybe he's not being Mekabel Shmira on. And if it only would have said, if it would have added Peros to the list, there would have been room to argue that since they get ruined rather easily, so when the Balei Chatzar gives Rishus, Mestamim is Mekabel Shmira on the payrolls, but not for other things. So that's why the Tanna wants to tell me about a Shar, that since he gave you Rishus to bring your Shar, we assume that he's Mekabel to be Shomer the Shar from any Hezek that's done by his animals. That's how Tosfos writes. In the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos, he tells the Tiferes Yisrael writes that it's teaching me Regel, that even though the Hezekah Matzoi, it's Pater if you were not Mekabel a Lov Lishmar, if you were not Mekabel to be Shomer. And it teaches you Shane that even though there's Hanal Hezekah, you're going to be Pater. And then in the Sefer it says that even though if the Kelev is Kelev that bites all the time, the Balabais doesn't have to remove that Mazik when you bring your Shar into the Rishos. So it's adding an extra Chiddush each time. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Nafal the Bor of a Hivish, if let's say the trespassing Shar falls into the Bor of the Balei Chatzar, the Hivish Meimav, and he dries up all the water in the bar, he ruins all the water of the bar, meaning there was a lot of valuable water in that bar, now it's not usable because a shor fell into it, so chayiv, so the owner of the trespassing shor has to pay for the water in the bar. Haya avivo b'no l'tocho, if the father of the Balei Bayis or the son of the Balei Bayis was in the bar when the shor fell in the bar, mishalem is a kofer, then the Bala shor has to pay kofer to the yarshim of the av or the ben, just like tashlumi kofer, when a shor ever kills a person that we learned about already on Daf Mem Aleph. So the Gemara is going to deal with the issue that a short time does not pay kofar. And if we're talking about a short time over here, why is there a kofar payment? As well as the issue of, if you want to talk about the trespassing short killing somebody who happened to be in the bar, why does it have to be the father of the Balei Bayis or the son of the Balei Bayis? Why can't it just be the Balei Bayis himself? So that we're going to get to Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's Daf. The Gemara is going to discuss that line in the Mishnah. V'im hichnas b'rishus, but if the shor was granted permission to come into the chatzer, so and the shor was damaged by the shor or the kelev of the bala chatzer. So then bala chatzer chayv, the bala chatzer is going to have to pay the bala shor because the owner of the trespassing shor. Because whenever you're allowing someone the rights to come into your chatzer, mistama, you're being mekabel the shmira of that item in your chatzer, and you're saying that my stuff will not damage your items that you're bringing into the chatzer. Rebbe Omer, so that's all Tanakama, right? Or it seems like that. The Gemara is going to discuss who the author is. But up until this point, we seem to be assuming that whenever I give you Rishus to come in, then I am accepting Shmira on your items, and anything that happens to your items, I'm going to be Chayv. Rebbe Omer Bekulan, in all the cases we said, if the trespasser's items have been ruined, even if you had Rishus to bring them in, the Balei Chatzar is not responsible to pay for that damage that's done. Because when I'm giving you Rishus to come in, I am not telling you that I'm going to be responsible for whatever. It's enter at your own risk, meaning yes, you're allowed to come in, but you're going to have to make sure that your stuff doesn't get ruined. Ad shei kabel lav lishmar, unless you hear from my mouth that I'm accepting to be shomer, you cannot make the assumption that I'm accepting upon myself to guard your stuff that you're leaving in my chatzer. So now the Gemara says, based on that last line, whoa, let's try to figure out who the author of our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah said that if a potter brings his pots into a chatzer Balei Bayis, shelo berishus, and the behem of the Balei Chatzar got ruined from it, so the guy who brought his pots in is chayiv in the nezek. Okay, the implication is time with the shelo berishus, that the only reason he has to pay for the nezek to the Balei Chatzar is because he brought it in shelo berishus, the haberishus. But had he brought it in berishus, lo mechayiv bal kederos beniske behem to the Balei Chatzar. Sounds like the bal kederos does not have to pay for the damage done to the behem of the Balei Chatzar. Velo amrinon, and we do not say that when you bring your kederos in berishus, even though he never said that he's mekabel on himself to be shomrit kabule kabil bal kederos netirusa de behem to the Balei Chatzar, that the bal Kederos is accepting upon himself that he's going to watch out to make sure that the behem of the Balei Chatzar does not get damaged by his Kederos. So money Rebbe he, that's assuming like the Shita of Rebbe, Damar Kabbalistama Lo Kabbalin Eterusa, meaning flipping Rebbe around a little bit, meaning Rebbe had said that when I tell you can come into my property, I am not saying that I am therefore going to take responsibility for your stuff. So we're saying, okay, so whenever you say Stama, you're not taking responsibility for someone else's stuff. So the implication of Rebbe study would be that if you allow me to bring the kederos and I into your property, that the bala kederos mistama is not taking responsibility for your stuff. So it sounds like that we're following the shita of Rebbe, that as long as I have rishus to bring my kederos, I am not taking responsibility for your shard that might get hurt from my kederos. But then it goes on to say, im hichnas b'rishus, that if I do have rishus to bring my kederos in, bal chatzar chayiv, then bal chatzar does have to pay the bal kederos for any damage done to the kederos. Whoa, I saw in the Rabbanan, that seems to be going like the Rabbanan. Damri b'stamanami kibuli kabalalei netirusa. The Rabbanan assume that when I allow you to bring your stuff into my rishus, I'm thereby accepting responsibility for whatever happens to them. So m'stamayam mekabal netirusa. And then at the very end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Omer b'kulan einuchayv adshei kabbala balabayis lishmar. Rabbi shows up again at the end of the Mishnah, and he says explicitly that whenever the balabayis allows you in, he's not accepting responsibility for your stuff. So it turns out, reish of the sefer Rabbi, the Mishnah starts with the assumption of mistama not being mekabel netirusa, which is Rabbi. The sefer is explicitly Rabbi umetzias rabbanan, but in the middle we assume that mistama you are mekabel netirusa. So how do we deal with that? It seems like a steer in the Mishnah. Two ways of dealing with it. Amar Rabbi Zeira Tavra, this Mishnah is in fact a difficult one, and the two dinim that are mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah are soser each other, and therefore you need to say that it is a machlokas, what the shita of the Tanakama is. Misha shanazo, lo shanazo. Whoever taught the Reisha that only when you're bringing the stuff in shalom rishos is the Bala Kederos going to be chayiv in the nezek that's done to the behemah of the Bala Chatzar, which implies that if I bring my pots in, Birushus, then I'm going to be potter for the Nezek, holds that there's no machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe, that whenever you're machnas birushus, the balachatz is going to be potter if the kederos were broken by his behema. But that is not the same Tana that taught the Hemshik of the Mishnah, that when you're machnas birushus and the behema of the balachatz breaks the kederos, that he has to pay for it, even though he never explicitly accepted a responsibility to watch it. Because in the scene for someone to come in is mechayiv you in that shmira. It's as if you accept the responsibility. It's just that he just holds that you're potter even when you gave rishos to the Tana that taught the seifa that when hichnas rishos the balachatz is going to be chayiv to pay the balakateros holds that the Tana kama is cholik on Rabbi, and even in the reisha he would hold that if you machnas rishos the balakateros is going to be chayiv for the niske behemas balachatzer because you were mekabel upon yourself to be shomer it. So that's one way of understanding it. It's a fragmented Mishnah, and it reflects the opinion of two different shitos. Rava Amra Kula Rabbanani. Rava says, no, the entire first part of the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan. That even when the Baal HaChatzar did not say that he's being mekabel the Shmira, he is obligated in the Shmira, and that which it's mashma from the Reisha, that when you're machnas b'rishos, the Baal HaKaderos is not going to be chayiv in the nezek done to the behema of the Baal HaChatzar, that's not really that's not only the Shita of Rabbi. Even the Chacham would agree that b'stama, the Baal HaChatzar is mekabel upon himself to be shomer. U'b'rishos, when the Baal HaChatzar gives rishos to bring your Kaderos in, Shmiras Kederos kibel lo balachatzer. The balachatzer is being mekabel the shmira of your kederos, and it's as if he's saying, yeah, bring your kederos in, they will be safe. Va'afilu nishbru beruach, and even if it was broken because of a wind, because of the pshia of the balachatzer, where the shomer chinam would be chayiv for it, still the balachatzer is going to be chayiv to pay for it. But the balakaderos was never mekabel shmira on himself, and therefore, when he's machnas b'rishus, he's pater from the nezek of the kederos. So it's not a two-way street, meaning you don't just say mistama, whatever the Baal HaChatzar is mekabel mistama, the Baal Kederos is also mekabel mistama. No, the Baal HaChatzar said, bring your stuff in. He's mekabel mistama to protect the kederos. The Baal Kederos is never mekabel anything mistama. And therefore, the entire Mishnah could go like the Shita of the Rabbanan up until the very last line where Rebbe comes in. So now we had said in the Mishnah, Hichnas peros of the chatzar balabayis, that if you bring your peros into the chatzar balabayis, and the shard of the balabayis got hurt by the peros, the Baal HaPeros is going to be chayiv. So I'm a Rav. Rav says a chiddush. Lo shanu el shechuch l'kabahen, aval ach l'pater. That's only, the Baal HaPeros is only going to be chayiv to pay the Baal HaBayis if the shor of the Baal HaBayis tripped or slipped or hurt itself that way on the peros. But if it just walked over to the peros, ate all the peros, overate, got sick from overeating, and because of that, died, so then you're going to be potter from paying. Because my time, havelish lo tochal, because the Baal HaPeros can tell the Baal HaShar, what's your shar eating the peros for? If it would have tripped on my peros, that's my peros' fault. But if your shar went over and actively ate them, that's your shar's fault. So the Gemara is going to question, is that something that you can say? Meaning, that's what a shar is, you know, the shar goes and eats. So you can say, what's your shar eating my peros? Is that really a svara? I heard recently in the shir of Lapiansky was giving a mashal for anti-Semitism and how a Jew should behave in Gullus. And he said, we should try our best. The anti-Semitism is going to be there no matter what, but we should really try our best not to invite it. Meaning we should try to tip nicely when you take an Uber. Like, do things that, you know, that will keep you. So he gave a mashal. He said, there's a guy waving a red cloth in front of a wild bull. And he said, Meshugana, what are you doing? He says, I'm the Meshugana. He's got an anger management. The bull's got an anger management problem. Why am I the Meshugana? Yeah, in a chinami, the bull's got an anger management problem. But don't be the person that. So you have to be mindful of these things. So you bring your food in. So is that a svara to say why is your pari eating my food? So the Gemara has three challenges to Rav. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says Amina kinayim v'shachav Rav Amar lahashmaita. Rav must have been sleeping, half asleep when he said this teaching. Titanya, because after all we have a brisa that says explicitly not like Rav. Hanosin samamav zlefnei. If you put poison in front of your friend's behema, and the animal eats it and dies, you're patur midine adam because it's only grama benizikin. But v'chayiv bedine shemayim to be yotzei yedei shemayim, you do have to pay because you caused it to die. So sama mothers who delavi d'dachla. Why am I my patur midine adam? Because I don't expect the animal to eat poison. It's bad for it. It's not tasty. Aval peros d'avi d'dachla, but peros which you always expect an animal to eat peros bedine adam. Not in the chayiv. If the animal's going to get hurt from eating the peros, I'm b'chayiv b'dinei adam as well. Aye, but according to you, Rav Amai, why should he be chayiv? Havilo shlo tochal. Shouldn't the guy be able to say, what's your animal eating my peros for? Sa Amri, who had enough feel peros? Na mi pater, mi dinei adam. No, you pater mi dinei adam even if he eats your peros, because Rav is right. You know, Rav will argue that he shouldn't have eaten the peros. Why does it only talk about sama mavas? Va'akam ashmalan. Ta filu sama mavas na mi delavi dudach l'chayiv b'dinei shemayim. The chiddush is that if it's sama mavas, you're still chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Meaning the fact that you put b'dinei adam by sama mavas is obvious, but the chiddush is that you chayiv b'dinei shemayim. V'ibay sema sama mavas nami b'afrasta dainuperi. Or it could be that sama mavas is not foul tasting sama mavas that you wouldn't expect the animal to eat. You laced its food with poison, so you do expect the animal to eat, and we still see that you put b'dinei adam. So that's exactly like peros. So that challenge to Rav is rejected. Meisve, another challenge to Rav. A woman who brings grain to grind in by a Baal HaBayis, she rents out the mill of the Baal HaBayis. Shalom Rishus, but she brought it in without any Rishus. And the behemoth of the Baal HaBayis eats it. So Pater, he does not have to pay for the chitim because it's not his responsibility to make sure that his animal doesn't eat the food of trespassers. Vim huska chayeves. And if it overate and got hurt from eating all that chitim, then the woman has to pay for the damage done to the animal. So it sounds like huska means it overate. But can't the woman say your animal shouldn't have eaten it according to Rav? So it says, what do you mean? That price doesn't say that it overate. It just says the animal got hurt from it. So maybe just like our Mishnah was talking about where the animal slipped on the peros, over here also it's talking about that the animal tripped or slipped on the peros, not that it overate. So says Mari, yeah, that was a pretty obvious answer. The karila, my karila. Why would we even think that that was a challenge to begin with? So Amar Lach, Bishla, Mamasnisin, Imhuska Behen, Shohuch Lekabehen, who. In the Mishnah it says, Imhuska Behen, that implies that it slipped. Avalhach, Ktani, Imhuska. Oh, but in the Bryce, it just says Huska. It doesn't say Huska Behen. Velo Ktani Behen. So Achilu, Ktani, that implies that the animal got hurt from eating. The Idach, and the one who gave the answer would say, Amar Lach, Lo Shna. No, Behen end doesn't make a difference to me. It just means that the animal tripped on the food, not that the animal ate the food, and therefore that is not a valid challenge to Rav. Tashma, a third challenge to Rav. You bring your shor into someone else's chatzar without rishos. Va'achal chitin, and the shor eats chitin vihitris, and it gets sick from it, and it has diarrhea because it was bad for its stomach. Umeis, and it dies. Pater, the bala chatzar does not have to pay for the death of that shor. But v'im hichnas b'rishos, if it came in b'rishos, bala chatzar chayiv. The bala chatzar is going to be chayiv. Va'mai, why is the bala chatzar going to be chayiv? Havale shlo yochal. Can't he say like Rav had the taina that you could always say it shouldn't have eaten? No one told your animal to eat this food that was there. Says the Gemara, Amarava. Birushus ashalo birushus karamis. You're asking a case from being machnas birushus on a case of being machnas shalo birushus. There's a simple chiluk to be made that when you bring peros shalo birushus, Rav says you're potter because the machnas was never makabel the shmiras habehema. So the behema should not have eaten it. But when you're machnas the shor to a chater birushus with the rishus of the bal chater shmira shoro kibel alav, then the bal chater is being makabel to be shomer that shor. Va'afilu chanakas hatzmo, even if the shor choked itself because of its own negligence of the bala chatzar, the bala chatzar is going to have to pay, and therefore when it eats the chitim and it dies as a result of eating the chitim, the bala chatzar is in fact going to have to pay. So none of the three challenges to Rav are able to stand up. As Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ibayu Lahu at the two dots. Have a good